Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good.
So today, not today, right now, right?
Well, no, but today, the one that we're sharing...
Yeah. Right, was with Chris and Matt D'Elia.
Chris and Matt D'Elia. We recorded this pre-quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Chris has he has a new comedy special out on Netflix called No Pain, which is hilarious.
It was so fun hanging out with those guys. Chris and I actually have maintained a relationship. It's not physical yet. and you know, he just had a new baby. He sent me pictures of his new kid.
When did he have the baby?
Maybe 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that. I'm not sure, but he sent me the funniest fucking video of his kid on this lamb, and they're rocking him on the lamb, and he's crying and then not crying, and Chris is doing this commentary on it. Very, very funny.
Oh gosh,
he's a happy man.
Right, a happy now. New dad. That was exciting. Yeah. It was exciting talking about that with him. You know, Chris is a very like straight guy. You know,
there's a perception of him that he's like drinks and smokes,
like a partier.
Weed and
yeah,
does
no.
coke,
real
and, you
clean.
Know, super. Never even had a drop of alcohol in his life.
No, yeah. Which I was shocked. It was just great. It was great to get to know them. And Matt is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, Matt's the cool brother. Sorry,
he's
Chris.
Cool.
He's the cool guy.
He's the cool guy. Yep.
Chris is the goofy one. No, but they were just great. I loved every second of it. There's also, which we don't want to spoil, but Chris had a really funny story about Pa and MySpace.
And MySpace. That's an amazing
story. It's such a great story.
That could be one of the great stories so far on our show.
Well, at least like something that bringing
for
home
us.
To our family. Yeah, for us.
Oh my God.
Anyway,
we love talking to these
guys,
boys.
We know you're going to enjoy this one. Oh, and I do. I just want to say we hope everybody is doing well and we are sending our love and just hope you guys are hanging in there. And yeah. Enjoy.
Enjoy. So when you do your podcast, Chris, do you just fucking talk?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any sort of concepts
whatsoever? Honestly, sometimes. Sometimes I will write down stuff during the week, and I'll get to like six topics, and I'll be like, okay, that's enough. Because I don't know if you know anything about my, but like, I'll milk some shit for a long time, mm-hmm. and sometimes like to a fault.
I don't Snapchat anymore, but I followed you on Snapchat.
That, I had fun with that for a while.
And I kind of got that from
Snapchat. I just keep doing it. But then
But God, you used to make me laugh. Oh, I used nice. To, yeah, oh, it's cool. Really fun.
But then once it's over, I'm like, all right, I covered that, and I'm actually surprised that I like still doing podcasting, but also it became a business, mm-hmm. you know, and now yeah. you make money doing it. Yeah. And now my goal is to not do, I always want to do the road, but to not have to do it. You know what I mean? But to answer what your question is, yeah, sometimes I have six topics, and like last week I had one topic and I was just like, all right, we'll see.
And you just riffed on
it. Yeah, just riff. And I think I've stopped. I said, yo guys, let's take a break. I think I've done that twice mm-hmm. in like 160 episodes.
I like that though. I mean, obviously people enjoy listening to you. You know what I mean? Because if you can't hold an audience,
I think it's weird. Like my dad is from a different generation, right? And he said to me, he was like, hey, some people I saw online, they like your podcast better than your stand-up. How is that possible? And I was like, yeah, it's funny, right? Because you work so hard on the stand-up. But then I think people just like the rawness. And we live in a time where it's like people don't give a fuck about even the movie that you're in, they mm-hmm. want to see you
yeah.
doing makeup ready for the movie. Yes. You know what I mean?
It's all about weird. The fucking buzzword of the century now is authenticity.
It's also Bill Maher said something that I thought was really funny, which was, what does this say about our culture that we literally either have an attention span of like 10 seconds or we sit and listen to a podcast for 3 hours.
It's so funny and weird.
It's weird.
But it's true though, because you know, you have a persona on stage,
right?
I mean, there's a lot of energy coming out of you. When you're doing your podcast, people can actually sort of see the real Chris. Yeah. Conan, especially. His is my favorite, by the way.
The podcast.
Oh, yeah. Conan's podcast.
I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, dude, it's so great.
No, it's very popular.
It is. It's great because Conan does his wacky, crazy shit on the show, but now you get to see him totally real, totally doing his thing.
So you like that because of that.
I do. It was nice to see sort of, oh, this is who he really is. Huh. You know what I mean?
It's true, isn't it? Like what I'm doing right now, I'm sitting here, we're talking, but then like if you put a camera and I had to like, show up.
Right.
It's like a different vibration, I guess.
Well, let's go back. Let's talk about
from the beginning.
Where were you born, the whole deal?
We were born in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. I was born first.
He was born first. Were you born in Livingston, too, at that same hospital?
I don't know the town.
You were born in Jersey?
Yeah.
Italian Jersey.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have an Uncle Vinny, so pretty Italian.
Yeah, and then how old were you when we moved? We were there. I was there until I was 10, I think.
Do you remember the first house?
The first
Westview?
First house? No.
You don't? Oh, you don't remember?
Not at all.
So how old?
Three and a half. It's like you guys, right?
Yeah. So that's the age difference, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you were brought home. Oh, so you left and moved into another house.
Yeah, I guess so, because we lived there.
I wasn't even two yet. I don't think.
Yeah, we were like there for 4 or 5 years, but I remember it. I remember that house specifically. I remember like there was like something like there were. I remember storms there where it was like, oh, we got to, you know.
Yeah.
Like the rain was coming. And then also I remember you there. I remember you bringing you home.
Yeah. How did you feel about that?
I was about to ask that.
You know what?
How was that moment?
Why don't you interview him? How did
you feel about my entry into the world?
So I don't remember feeling any kind of jealousy, but I do remember, I don't remember that, not to say I didn't feel that way, but I remember someone getting me a gift when he was born. I think it was grandpa or something. Yeah. Or I think my mom got it.
I did the same shit with my kids, by the way.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, and they gave it to me, and I was like, why are you giving me this? And they were like, and I knew, oh, they don't want me to feel left out. I remember thinking that mm-hmm. at 3 and a half or whatever.
Wow.
And
patronize me.
Yeah, even as a 3 and a half, I was like, this fucking bullshit detector.
Shit.
Yeah, and I remember what they gave me, too. They gave me a He-Man guy. Ram Man.
That's pretty cool.
It was a cool gift for me, yeah.
Aww.
Did they say it was from your baby brother? This is from your baby brother.
You called him out, though. You were like, this is not This is not a legit gift.
That's right. Yeah, I did. That's the story. Is that I said you? That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. I said you just got me this because he's here now. That's right.
Smart.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's what mom says. Yeah.
And were you? Was there ever any time when you guys got older and he was like 3 or 4 where you were just like, all right, you've taken my.
No, I don't remember that. I always our family's real close. We're real lucky. I always felt like loved, man. Yeah.
There's videos of us early, like on Christmas morning. Were like you he was always good a good older brother like he would protect me around other shithead kids always but around just us like he would bang me into the wall and like there's a video though on Christmas morning
it's so funny
when we're like super excited and we're clamoring like through a doorway like to get into where the presents were and he just like absolutely drills me in the head with his elbow.
Well, I didn't mean to.
I know he didn't mean to, but he does do it.
I don't even know if I did.
And my head happens
bounces
to be
off the wall.
Right up against where like the door and the handle are, you know. And I'm just like, and I don't move. I don't miss
because
a beat with a smile. But like
it's Christmas,
he's just trying to
so
mow past me. But we didn't like stop and linger on fights. We were always kind of like.
That's great.
I remember this is when we were in California, but we used to talk about punching him in the face. Like I really wanted to punch him in the face, and he was like, "You better not do it. You better not do it." And eventually, you got of age where you were like, "If you can punch me in the face for $5."
Yeah.
And then when he made the offer, I was like,
"This is just so like such a masculine energy. I just want to hit you in your face,
right? But
for like the brother to respond with." Yeah. Okay.
But then
I was like, oh wait, now I can do it.
Right.
Do I really want to do this?
Right.
Yeah. I have the money. I'm good for it. You know what I mean? But like, I don't know if I want to hit my brother.
Right.
But then we got into a fight one day, like weeks later.
Yeah.
Whatever. And like, I guess I got mad. I took it too far. We're rolling around. It was on a bed.
Yeah,
I remember.
It was on one of your beds. You had the two twin beds.
And I hit him in the face, and he was already rolling off the bed, and he fell off the side of the bed. And I saw my life flash in front of me. I was like, he's going to kill me. And it was the one time, actually, I was like, I don't even want to run because my life's over. Like, I'm going to be at peace with this.
Right. Let's just take it right now and get this over.
Yeah. And so I just wait and I freeze and he pops his head up from past the bed and he just goes, $5. And that was it. So I paid him $5. So happy.
And he immediately goes, okay. Yeah. And goes and gets it and gave me $5.
I was so happy.
I think it was 10, but yeah.
It might have been 10, yeah.
How old were you guys?
I was like 10.
Yeah, and I must have been 13.
Yeah, it was like right when we were
in LA. Oh my God, when my boys were, this was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. My boys are 12 and 9 right now.
Okay.
They were jumping off this bed, off our bed, onto a bean bag. And I'm in the room, which made me more mad that he would do it just right in front of me blatantly.
Right.
At least hide it. But my little one stands up there and goes flying off and wilder. It was my older one, just pulls the beanbag out onto like hardwood.
Ouch. Oh my God.
Evil.
Bodie. Oh God. How old were they?
So mad.
Oh man. He was like,
did you have a moment to reflect on your own?
There we go.
How you were?
Yeah.
Well, as an older brother,
they probably didn't get how dangerous
it's
that
way
was.
No,
worse.
You know, he didn't. I don't think. I think he was trying to be funny, and it backfired on him.
My sons fight all the time, but in comparison to how Oliver and I were, it's like nothing.
Yeah.
She just bugged
like they're
the shit
doing
out of
great.
Me.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time. She was just performing all the time, and it drove me crazy.
Right.
You know, it was just like, just be real first. Just
you,
be normal.
No, but I was
about
real.
Just be normal just first.
In the meantime, it worked
he
out.
Couldn't handle
you know,
it.
That's
you
what
were
I'm
wrong.
Saying.
She made money.
But I say it all the time. She owes me.
I know.
Yeah, no, but you're right. It
couldn't handle the shine.
Right, yeah. I'm a little jealous.
My
performative abilities.
My parents were, that turned into. My dad would always be like, shut the fuck up, go to bed. And then I was like, oh, now I make money at it. You fucking, you were wrong, you know?
Were you always cracking jokes and were you always like looking at the bigger picture?
Yes,
of
both, yes.
There's no way.
with you specifically, you were basically doing stand-up when you were a kid for us.
Yeah.
I mean, there were times, as you said, our dad would be like, shut the fuck up and go to bed because I have memories of being in their bed in between them, watching him you have to remember this, the dumb pull-up bar thing.
Oh,
you
yeah,
would do.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, he would take the pull-up bar that he had between the door, you know, the one that you'd oh, stick God, between the doorways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it comes apart into two pieces. Yeah. He would pretend he was like a martial artist with his sword.
So
and do like a thing and then end annoying. Up hitting himself and like cutting himself. And the joke was that he would try to keep going even though he was bleeding.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was the bit.
Which is
I
remember hilarious. The thing, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was but the you bit? Would, where, yes.
But you repeated your jokes?
Oh, yeah.
Were you the kind of person who like when you were a little, this is what my son does is like I'll hear him work like he'll work a joke on me to see if I laugh
that's great. That's what
and
I
then
do.
I'll hear him
100%
telling someone else the same joke
oh yeah
the more you refined know? Version
right yeah, yeah. He's like got it down and I'll hear and I'll
oh that might be a little like, stand-up comedian there.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah.
I would do the same
joke.
Thing I would be like okay I did it to Sean already I'll try it to like yeah someone else and, mm-hmm. and then see if my dad thinks it's funny and a Matt Yeah, 100%.
Sure.
I mean, I always wanted to be a stand-up comedian.
You always have those always. Stories. You
yeah, know, yeah, yeah.
Those
yeah.
stories that keep going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so funny.
You were like, I'm going to be a stand-up
yeah.
comedian.
Yeah. I remember my dad tells a story about when we were watching, he was watching a Jerry Lewis movie, and I was playing with my toys, and then I looked up at Jerry Lewis, and he was making all these crazy faces, and I was and my dad was laughing, and I... And my dad said, I stopped playing with the toys. And I looked at my dad and I said, hey, Dad, this guy, that's his job to do this? And my dad said, yeah. And I watched for a little longer. And then I turned to him and I said, and like, he makes money doing that? Like, that's how he makes money? And my dad said, yeah, actually, he makes a lot of money doing that. And then my dad said, I went like this. Huh. And he always remembered that moment. And yeah. now he thinks of it as that was the moment where like I processed that I could do that. And then that's when I was like, okay, cool. Like I really went with the being funny. And
do you remember like your first bit?
Over and over again? No. But yeah. I remember one time we were in a car and we had my dad's friend's name was Bobby Racola. And I remember I had this in my head. Ready to go, and I was like, "Hey, what?" I mean, it was really little, meaning this is not funny. Right. And I said, "Hey, Uncle Bob," we used to call him. I said, "What's your last name? Oh, what's your name?" And he said, "Oh, I'm Bob Uracola." And I said, "Well, I'm Chris Seven Up because he's Cola's in his last
right.
name." I was young, right. and of course, my parents laughed because I was young. But I remember thinking, oh, that's so cool. I made them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, did you have any of that?
Yeah, you definitely did.
I mean, our parents are both extremely funny and always being funny. And then you were doing that too.
Yeah.
And then I think just by default, I became sort of the one who would listen and soak it up. Mm. But outside of my family, I'm the one that is, you know. But around them, I'm like... This right. is too much to even mess with.
Well, let's talk about your parents for a second.
Yeah.
Now, you grew up in a showbiz
yeah,
family.
Yeah, yes. yeah. My dad's in the biz.
Producer.
Still.
Mom is still. An interior decorator.
Yeah. I mean, she hasn't
she
really
was
done that
in
for
TV,
a while, but yeah, she did.
When
that,
you
yeah.
were born, she was still working in ABC News. I
oh,
think.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And what did she do?
She was an analyst for ABC News. I don't know.
Really know.
Actually, yeah. Yeah. I should know, but I don't.
And it was 40 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But
your dad produces television.
My dad produces stuff. Yeah, he's doing a show now. He does a lot of TV. He works with David Kelly a lot.
Yeah.
And he's doing another show with David Kelly now and John Stamos.
How come he doesn't hire you?
He's hired me once or twice. I've hired him more than he's hired me.
Right.
He's yeah.
directed a few of your specials, right?
And I fired him on the last one and hired him.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Best decision you ever made. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just directed his.
He directed
his
my last special.
Oh, that's
that
dope.
Comes out soon.
Oh, cool.
That's dope.
And I told my dad right there, I was like, hey, Dad, I got to tell you, I'm doing another special. And I'm going to shoot it in Minneapolis, and you're fired. And he goes, what the fuck? And I said, I turned to Matt and I said, and you're hired. And my dad goes, oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's the happiest he's ever been
he's
to
like,
be
that's
fired.
The best firing ever.
Yeah.
So when you were little, was Dad always working and on sets? Did you grow up on sets?
So yeah. So when we were still in New Jersey, he made an independent movie based on a Thomas Berger novel called The Feud. And
it was like 88?
It was, 88, I think.
Must have been
and he quit doing what he was doing, which was directing commercials in New York to make that movie. He went broke making the movie, but it got him hired doing TV. So we're still in New Jersey, and he's out here all the time working. He was doing like 90210, mm-hmm. Stuff like
Doogie
that.
Howser.
Doogie Howser.
As a director.
First one.
TV
yeah.
director.
Yes, TV director.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so he was just always out here more and more. And he was like, I got to
bring shows of our childhood.
Yeah, I know, it's cool. True.
He did you get to meet all those people when you were little?
Yeah, it was so cool, yeah.
I think it was 92.
92? So you moved out.
92, we moved out here.
Right.
And that was when, because he started, he was one of the main directors of Northern Exposure, which was like a show that like people were really into.
Yeah,
and so that kind of got him to be like, okay, I got to move out to.
Were you in sixth grade or seventh grade?
I was going into seventh grade. Yeah, because that's where the middle school started.
Here. Yeah, yeah.
It started in sixth grade on the East Coast, I think. So we moved out here, and I remember I had my hairstyle that was like Luke Perry. I was like, it was like up, and everyone always...
I used to call him Ledgehead.
Yeah, you used to call me Ledgehead.
Because it was like you could... I used to say they filmed Cliffhanger on his head.
Yeah, you did used to say
that. That was a good joke.
Yeah, that was a good joke. Yeah.
You mean the Sly Stallone movie? Yeah,
yeah. The Sly Stallone movie on his head.
By the way, I love that movie.
It's a good movie, yeah.
Right. I didn't like that you called me that.
You didn't like that. It bothered him a lot. When I called him Ledgehead.
Ledgehead?
Yeah.
Have you guys
but it was
ledgy. So fucking
it was
annoyed.
Like a ledge.
It wasn't, dude.
Wait, you're just citing what you're looking at.
It was just a ledge. And it was on your head.
Yeah, but then why is it so fucking Luke? Why wasn't Luke Perry Ledgehead then, dude?
He was.
Okay, no, but you never said.
Was it the way? I have to see what this.
He had his hair
live in the same room as Luke Perry. I couldn't call him Ledgehead.
It was very throwback.
Did it have
to like
50s. Wave?
No, it was
no,
it a perfect
no, 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 no.
Ledge. It had just been like
a
mesa.
Had a ledge.
He's like a mesa head.
Oh,
it could be a mesa head
or table. I don't know why I fucking spoke Spanish.
Mesa head.
So you've got your mesa head going on.
Yeah,
right. Mesa.
You moved to Los Angeles.
It was fucking cool, dude.
Dude,
it was cool.
You moved to LA because Dad was really working here all the time.
All the time.
Where'd you go to high school?
La Cunada High School.
So you were in the Valley.
And one time Luke Perry said, "Hey man, you got cool hair," and I knew he did it because Dad said, "My son does his hair," and I was like, "Thanks. You don't have to." Do that anyway. Go ahead.
It's just like with the present.
He
doesn't want anything that's not genuine.
I don't
want just
knew.
Like with the present when I came home.
Now Luke Perry's fucking trying to make me placate me. Get the fuck out! I was so like a 14 year old. I'm like, all right, Luke Perry.
So are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure your dad said, "Say hey, he does."
There's no
like you.
Fucking way.
There's no way Luke Perry's gonna come.
The way he did it, dude. I can read
in defense of Luke Perry. You had the same hair as him.
I know.
So he liked your hair,
yeah.
Even if he was put up to it.
By the way his face was doing it.
Right.
Also, now you sound paranoid. The hair doesn't look really cool in a 14-year-old. It looks cool in a 21-year-old.
So you admit it.
Are you good like that, though? Can you really seek out the genuine from the sort of dishonest?
I've always had a fear of people not being... You know what my nightmare is? I was joking about my nightmare. You know what my nightmare is? My true nightmare, my number one nightmare is people think I'm a way that I don't realize I'm being. Dude, like if... You know the guy who comes in a room and is like, "Oh, I'm the shit. Girls like me," and you're just that guy, and you're like, "Bro,
yeah, you're not even close.
You don't
to
know
that.
What you're like. You don't know what your face is.
Right.
Work out more.
Right.
Like, be better.
Be better. Yeah.
And that guy's like, girls like me.
Yeah.
That's why, honestly, one of the reasons why I love being a comedian is because some people, like, sometimes I'm joking being a douche, and people are like, "You douche," and I'm like, "Okay, you don't get it,"
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
But, like, if I was actually that guy,
mm-hmm.
like, no days off, or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean?
That guy's terrible.
That guy is like, what are you doing, dude?
Right. It's nobody an LA likes thing. That guy.
No, what?
Nobody likes
even that guy.
Guy
doesn't like that guy. The guy who's saying it doesn't like himself.
What are you saying?
What does that even mean?
Yeah. No days off pretty much means... All of the days are off.
Right.
All of the days off.
It's pretty much help me.
Yeah.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
Okay, so you moved to LA. You go to La Cunada High School.
Did you guys play sports?
Did you? Yeah, I was just
kind of. He did.
I did. Yeah, I was an athlete for sure. Yeah, yeah.
He was a pitcher.
What's your sport?
He played baseball.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I played basketball up until sophomore year, and then I was like, "What the fuck am I doing? I'm not going to be in the NBA. Fuck this."
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would be. I'd be like, I'm not, it's not fun enough to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would only do this to be making money at some point. I'm 6'2". I'm not that good.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it.
Yeah. You already knew where you were going to make money.
Exactly.
And were you guys tight in high school, even though you were separate and in different grades? And stuff?
Yeah,
we were tight. Yeah.
You would come together at lunch and all that. And
you would.
Well,
like,
so I was in. We only had one year where we were in the same.
Oh, that's it.
He was 9. Yeah. I was 12.
Got it.
But you were always super. But he was always really protective of me. Like when I needed him to be an older brother. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm.
if I was like, I mean, there were times even when I was younger where you would like. There was this dude. There was. I won't mention his name.
But that probably doesn't matter. But yeah.
Yeah. I'm still.
He just probably does like real estate.
He's still scared.
He does real estate. He's at his desk. He hears this, and he's like, "Fucking mad."
Okay. So, but the guy. Okay, you guys aren't gonna believe me.
That's a good start. Like a short.
Totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And you guys will not believe me, but this kid.
He was insane.
Was 6'2".
He was insane.
In. Fourth grade.
He was insanely big.
Really?
It was so fucking weird.
He was that tall. Whoa. And he was as big as an adult who is that tall.
Right.
He was
dude,
big.
You'd see him in your class and you'd be like, oh, come on, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What is this shit?
This
what?
Isn't real.
What the fuck is this person?
Are you the Hulk?
Yeah.
So what
Why
happened?
Why are you not green?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you'd be like.
Totally. So something happened where, like, I actually don't even remember what the thing was.
I don't remember either.
We pulled up, some shit.
And my mommy and my daddy pulled up in the fucking
to pick me up
in the parking lot to pick you up, and this kid roughed you up in a some sort of way. I don't know what it was, but he picked you up and threw you down is what he did.
Okay, yeah.
And then you grabbed a water bottle and threw it on his fucking head.
Mm. Sick.
Up to his head.
Hell right? yeah.
For you.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
And my dad said, are you fucking kidding me? And unbuckled his seatbelt. And I just instinctually said, Dad, no.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be embarrassing.
Way better for you to do
it. Yeah. I was like, I'll do it. And my dad was proud. I could tell you, really?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. Also, I was like, what if this kid beats the shit out of my dad?
Way bigger than you.
Right.
Yeah.
Way bigger than him.
But I was like, let me just, at least it's less embarrassing if he beats the shit out of me.
Right.
If he's like, yo, I beat the shit out of Matt's dad.
Right. That's right.
I couldn't have that going on at Palm Crest.
It's possible he could have beat the shit out of dad.
Right. So
he was that big.
So
he was bigger than my dad.
Yeah. So I'll do it. My dad's big. So I'll do it. So I walk up, and as I walk up to this kid, this kid's getting way bigger, right? Yeah. Because he's getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? Now, I didn't realize how funny it seemed to my dad, because I must have been looking like I was getting a lot smaller as he was going, right?
So now I'm in the car. I'm in the car by now. Chris goes to handle the business while I'm in the car. And I'm like, holy shit, this is sick. Look at what my brother's
doing. Did you have a plan of what you were going to say?
I was just going to.
But he got up to him and I was like, wow, he's so much bigger than Chris.
He was just straight up vertical.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to tell him not to do it. And I walk up and say, hey, man, don't fucking do that to my brother. Like, you know, whatever it was. It was super 80s, whatever I said. Mm-hmm. Like, super like in an 80s after school thing. I was like, you don't do that to my brother, man.
Yeah.
You're too much bigger than him. And like, or you're going to have a problem with me. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he was like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah,
because I was older. Right. Only because I was older.
Yes.
And then I remember walking off and Jeff Hull was there, I think. And everyone was like, yeah, Chris. Like, because they were, it was like the
was
ding dong,
cool.
The witch is dead. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they were like, finally, this guy. And I walked off and I didn't, and I was like, don't look back. Because what if, I was like, he might come after me. Mm-hmm. And he didn't.
He didn't, yeah.
And I remember, this was so dumb. And even after I did it, I realized it was so dumb. But I looked, I go like this. And I said, Power Rangers.
You did?
Yeah, I did do that. What? I did say that, yeah. Because I thought it would be funny and I thought it would lighten the mood.
That's amazing.
Sorry, what?
I did. I thought it would lighten the mood.
This is not the ending I remember.
I did do that.
We should just change that ending.
No, honestly, I don't want you to change it because that's the truth.
I like that ending.
I don't remember that at all.
And as soon as I did it, I thought I probably shouldn't have done that, but I tried to make it light.
Right.
I think that's a good joke.
It's a pretty good
one.
I like that.
I like it too. I just don't have any memory.
Yeah, no, I definitely did that. I wouldn't forget that. I definitely wouldn't make it up. Right. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that same 6'2" fourth grader was the dumbest kid I've ever met in my life.
Was he?
He did this thing that kids are such idiots. We went to Valley Forge.
Oh, wait,
like, as a
I
class
remember
trip,
this.
And he was in my group. It was like we were in a group of eight. We all do everything together, and we were eating. And he was doing that dumb trick that no one likes this trick, where they untwist the thing of the salt.
Fucking hate that.
It's never funny. No one ever liked it. He untwists the top, waits for our other friends to come back, and he's being such an idiot about it, like, did you want to try the salt? And everyone just knows the dumb trick he's doing. Five minutes pass.
Who's that excited about salt?
5 minutes pass.
No way.
And I'm like,
I know.
I'm like, Austin, you should put a little bit of salt on that. And he's like, okay. And you can see in his face, as he's reaching for it, I'm like, oh, wait, he doesn't remember the trick he did, and he's going to do it to himself.
Oh, my God.
And he poured salt on his food, and the color drained from his face, and he realized that he had done it to himself. It was the the dumbest thing.
Weird.
Did he grow more?
Yes, way more. He's huge. He's like 6'10".
Have you guys gotten along all your life?
I say yeah, but he says... There was, you know, yeah.
I just asked you this.
Yeah, I know.
You got mad at me.
You're bringing up a lot of shit that we just talked about. Cliffhanger and
I texted him the other day. I texted him the other day and I said, when did we become like close friends again later? Because we were when we were kids.
What you texted me was, when did we become friends? And I didn't know what the fuck you meant. Because that's a very weird thing to text your brother out of the blue.
I meant again.
I thought somebody got your phone.
Did you forgot you forgot to write again?
Yeah, I did forget to write again.
And then I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't understand what was happening. And then I was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, become friends again. And I was like, I was always your friend. And he was like, no. And then I remember, what I meant
was, there was a summer, to give context to this, there was a summer where our mom was upset with us for fighting all the time that she offered us money. Yes. She offered us $75, which was huge.
Was it that much money?
Huge money. Wow. Huge money.
That's you hit me in the face 7 times.
Yeah, right. But you were like 16, I was 13. It was like peak fighting time.
Oh.
Yeah. And she was like, this was like in May. She was like, if you can go the whole summer without fighting, I will give you each $75. Wow. And we were like, oh my God, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We were in cahoots. We were like, we're never going to fight. If we do, mom cannot be around.
Yeah, we had like a side conversation. We're like, man, we could do this. Yeah.
Right.
Literally.
We're going to make this money. Your enemy of your enemy is my friend or whatever the fuck is.
Literally 4 hours later, we're like screaming at each other in the back of the car. And my mom's like, well, you're not getting the $75. We're like, oh shit, we forgot. So there was a period where we couldn't stop fighting. But this is what I remember. When you moved out, immediately I was like, I want to talk to Chris on the phone. I miss Chris. Whereas I didn't have anything to compare it to. You were just always there. So I didn't really know it was a thing that was ever not going to be true. Because when you're 13, you don't really think about what it's going to be like when he moves. But immediately I just remember being like, oh shit.
And when you moved out, meaning go to college?
I went to NYU for 1 year.
That's right. I went to Tish. Yeah. So when you moved,
How was it? NYU too, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did.
We're all NYUers. I actually deferred.
I'm not.
And I never went back. I didn't end up going.
He went to Tish for a year. Hilarious, I went to Tish for 3.5 years.
You did?
I did.
You graduated.
Yeah. I graduated.
I went to Boulder. I did nothing.
You made the right choice.
I skied and
he drank and learned his social security number.
I did. I learned my social, which is actually, it's great.
What is it? Give it out.
Do you still know it?
Yeah. Good. It's all there, that's good. Man. So it's all there.
Every time someone asks me for my social security number, I go, oh, no. And they go, oh, wait, I know it.
Yeah.
Like every time I'm like, I'm not going to, oh, I got it.
Yeah.
It's so interesting.
So wait, Matt, when Chris left, was that tough or?
It was a lot quieter.
It must have been a lot quieter.
It was tough. It was just really strange to. Because we were so close and we kind of did everything together always. Mm-hmm. And then when he left, it was genuine. I just remember thinking, wow, this house is so quiet. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's so fucking loud, but also because it was just like...
Cut to my roommates in NYU being like, shut the fuck up.
Yes. Definitely, yeah.
I didn't feel that way when Ollie left.
When I left.
No. I really cared, but it lasted like... 3 weeks, yeah. And then I was really fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean you didn't really give a shit.
Well, I had Wyatt in Boston.
Was he still tormenting you at that time?
No.
No. Oh, so that was it. Yeah. Like, we were good then.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah.
I got my Helix mattress.
You did?
It came to the door, and it's fucking amazing.
They make it really easy.
You know, you take this quiz. You answer some questions and they match it up specifically for your body type and your sleep preferences. So I did that.
I love when companies design things for individuals and everybody sleeps differently. So it's it's nice that...
Yeah, well, that's what the quiz does, right? So there's like soft, medium, and firm. You know, you put in whether you sleep on your side, your back, your stomach, if you move around all night. And then once you input that information, ring, the mattress comes up and this is the one for you. We have been on the same mattress for, oh my God, 15 years now or something. Sleep, it was the first night. Was amazing. It was like sleeping in heaven.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It was really, really amazing. I fall asleep much quicker, which is huge for me.
Well, that's great. I mean, it has been awarded number one best overall mattress pick of 2019 and 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine.
Okay, so just go to helixsleep.com/sibling and take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and then they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. I am a real testimonial. I have had the best sleeps of my life.
Oh, it's offering $200 off all mattress orders. Two free pillows.
Two free pillows for our listeners.
That's awesome.
You also get a 10-year warranty, by the way, so you can try it out for 100 nights.
Risk-free.
Risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it. But you will. I mean, 100 nights, that's a lot. That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/sibling for up to $200 off.
And two free pillows.
For our listeners.
Yeah.
At helixsleep.com/sibling.
All right, so you guys, you're doing sports. You're over sports. You're Mr. Athlete,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When you play baseball.
Baseball, yeah.
And then when did you start getting interested, though, in the actual arts?
Yeah. I mean, I started to write young, like really young. In fact, I have some of that shit printed out, like the early scripts that I wrote, early short stories. That they're so bad, like so unbelievably bad. It almost is like cute.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like how bad I was.
But was it
know?
Age appropriate?
No.
No.
Not at all. It was like 12
below
year old,
grade level.
I was 12. Well, in that sense, yes. But it was not age appropriate in the sense that it was like.
Appropriate.
I was 12 trying to write about adults.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, who were like having sex when I hadn't even kissed a girl yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just
and
like.
Then he goes to his job. It's and his so, job is hard.
Yeah, right. It's so incongruous, you know?
It's not good.
But yeah, I always knew I wanted to be a writer in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I also was playing baseball all the time as well. And then when I went to NYU, I actually had to decide to stop playing baseball because they wanted me to play there for Division III whatever team, but I just didn't want to.
And then you just took writing
yeah,
more just, seriously.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then that was it. Yeah.
And what about you, Christine? When did you actually step on a stage for the first time?
It was actually later. So I wanted to do stand-up always, but I thought it was just, I was too scared. And so I was like, I'm going to write and I'm going to be an actor. And then I'll go in to stand up the back doorway, which is such a bad idea.
Right. Right.
But I didn't know that then.
Yeah.
I was just like, who knows? If you don't do stand-up, you don't know. And then I just would, you know, I sold a script and then I optioned one and then I got a few roles here and there, but just kind of like at a loss. I was like, okay, I got to get on stage. I was 25 and I was like, I'm never gonna, I got to do this. At least let me take control, you know? Cause you know, as an actor, you're waiting for parts and shit. So, so I got on stage and then I was like, oh, all right, I can just do this.
What was the first stage you said?
It was at the Ha Ha Cafe in North Hollywood.
Do you remember when it was?
There?
Wow.
No, but it was January 1st.
Oh, no, January 2nd. I read this.
It was January 2nd, yeah.
Right.
It wasn't because actually the New Year's Day.
New Year's resolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
January 2nd, 2005.
Did you tell anybody you were doing it?
I think I probably told a few people, yeah.
Well, you were doing it with our other friend.
Yeah, we were doing it with Chris Mako, yeah. And he did it for 3 months and then was like, I'm not going to do this. And I was like, I'm just going to keep doing it, yeah.
Do you remember your opening joke?
I remember, yeah, I think so. I think it was, I don't remember my opening joke for that time, but my first like show opening joke was like 3 months in. I was like, was about the show 24, was about how
I love
like,
that show.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. And it was about how like Jack Bauer was so important. So everything was, and needed to be done immediately. And I would put him in the situation where he's like, he's getting his haircut. He was like, I need a haircut now. It was just so But yeah, that was the
so
joke.
Funny.
That was the joke.
Do you go weird? Do you get dark and like get
dark, yeah,
like
no.
kind of self?
No. I know. I actually talk about this in my special coming out. It's like people are always like, people romanticize it, you know? Like comedy comes from pain, you know? And I don't think it doesn't. I mean, it can, you know what I mean? When I started coming up as a comedian, I like had to remind myself, like people, when they started, you know, I've been listening to you and it, you know, they say this to all, you know, they say, oh, you know, I went through a depression or whatever. And I was listening to you and it helped or whatever it is, you know? And you're like, oh yeah, I guess people's lives are a lot different than everyone else's and mine. And just cause I had it good doesn't mean everyone had it good. And
you know, the typical, Because you don't even drink, right? You don't drink. You're pretty. So I feel like.
Never, right?
Never.
You've never even had one drink?
Oh. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. We were in Italy when we were. I was like 14. We were still in high school.
No, remember I was that? 19.
Okay, yeah. I was still in high school. So 16, and we went to some bar. Mm-hmm. As I was like 15, so excited to go to a bar. I already drank.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, let's go drink somewhere. Yeah. And he was like, oh, obviously I'll go with you, because he didn't care that I did. But he, I remember, do you remember this? You got a beer and you took it, a sip and you didn't swallow. Oh. And it looked like you just saw the devil. And you like stood up real fast and ran to the bathroom and came back. And I was like, what the fuck? And you spit it out of your mouth. You don't remember that?
Wow.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't remember that.
Why do you think? I mean, why do you think?
Oh, well, why I did that?
No. I'm just saying, in generally, you know, why you don't drink or smoke weed or anything like that. I understand trying to stay focused and sharp.
It started out as I was scared, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't want to be under the influence or something like that. That's how it started. You know, I used to watch like the Batman, the old Batman, the Adam West, when they re-showed it in the 80s. And all like the laughing gas stuff and shit scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, the
like,
green really fucking scared gas. Me.
Yeah, and I took under the influence as the umbrella of it that's what that was. You know, so when people started drinking, I also never wanted to do anything that everybody was doing. That always was like, why the fuck's everybody doing that? That's got to be weird. So whenever in high school people were like, drinking's the thing, I was like, all right, I'll wait it out. If I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it on my own time. You're not gonna make me do this shit, right? So I've always been like that. I also, things like that, like drinking for the first time, sex for the first time, whatever it is, I don't do it until I regret that there was a time that I haven't done it. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like the time I knew I was ready for sex is I could have had sex and I didn't. Right. And then afterwards I was like, I should have done that. It's like going in and you're going to buy that jacket, like, nah, and then you leave and you're like, oh, I wanted to buy that jacket. Mm-hmm. Then you know you want the jacket.
Right, and then you go get the jacket.
You go get the jacket, right? But and instead of buying it and regretting it, rather, you know. Right.
You're saying you never have
You have the regret first.
Yes.
You don't have the regret
Because then I know I'm ready
after.
To do the thing. So I just, with all those things mixed in together, I never really was like, I should have, I never felt like I missed out, never cared, never wanted to.
Did your parents drink?
No, I mean.
My mom didn't drink when we were kids. Not that she was sober or anything. She just didn't. Now she'll have a glass of wine every once in a while. My dad always drank, but not.
Yeah.
He was never drunk.
Just normal.
You know, I mean, I remember the one time he was drunk, he picked me up wearing a fucking beret for some reason.
Yeah.
And my mom was driving. He was in the passenger seat. He picked me up from Julia Yunt's house. We had just seen Titanic and we were like making out for like the first time ever. And my dad, he was in the passenger seat and he kept giving me a high five from sitting
in front of him. That's so funny.
Even where I was annoyed, I was like, stop. Making me
right.
And my mom was like, your father's drunk. And he's like, I'm not drunk. She's like, why are you wearing the fucking beret then? She had a point.
That's so funny.
That is so funny.
Yeah. I'm jealous though, dude. Your body's so clean.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, in that respect.
From just following you on Snapchat, I could have sworn that some of those times you were wasted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because we've known each other a little bit in the past, but and everyone says that we look like
I
each
know,
other.
It's
you guys
so, funny.
So fucking oh, crazy. Like, the amount of times that I get, oh, you know Chris D'Elia? I'm like, I know. We look like each other. Yeah. He goes, yeah, you guys look just like a lot. Yeah. I get it all the time. But anyway, my point is that I think there's this persona about you when people see
you. Yeah,
you
guys all look like you could be related.
I know.
Just like the weird Italian.
When people see you or they have a perception of who you are that is not really like who you are.
Yeah.
You know, or what's inside.
Yeah,
know
people
what I mean?
Think I do coke.
Yeah.
People think I do all the drugs and I'm just so, I go out and party. I just don't. I don't go out. I do my show. I go eat and then I go home. I don't know. I've never been like that.
Do you go to bed early?
No, I don't do that. That's the comic life though.
You know,
I'll be on the road and I'll do a show. I'll do two shows. It'll end at 12:30 and then I'm buzzing and then, you know what I mean?
Go get room service. What's your come down?
What I do is I get room service with either my opener and we just laugh and watch Forensic Files and shit. And then we just
Do you remember we used to watch infomercials at like 3 a.m.?
That's what we, that was,
every
that
night
would be you come down when I was coming up.
You were so annoying about it.
Yep.
I would want to go to bed so bad and he'd be like, but we got to watch infomercials. We got to watch infomercials. And I was like,
it was so funny.
No one can make me do shit more than
you. You know why I like it? Is because they're so inauthentic. They're so not genuine.
But they're also so persuasive.
Yeah, well,
Like sure. How many times?
That's their whole job.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. How many times have you wanted to get something off of
I got one thing one time, and it was the shark. It was a vacuum, and it was a piece of shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never bought one thing.
But, neither have I. Man, the best good? Part is the acting. The hand acting.
That's what's
shit.
Good.
But the best the host, is the you will get a guy that's his job, yes. And you'll see him, this is the best invention, and then in a year, he'll be like, this is the best invention. Right. And you're like, this guy just keeps finding the best inventions
right.
Or he's full of shit.
Yeah.
Kurt loves infomercials.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Man, well, imagine watching infomercials with him. That would be hilarious.
You would love that more than anything. Yeah.
He'd be going to sleep. I'd be like, no, we got this.
Wake up. Kurt,
you learn
how
to sell real estate on this one. Come on.
I just remembered something. Speaking of fucking Kurt Russell, do you remember on MySpace when you made that fucking...
Oh, I gotta tell
dude,
you guys
this.
This
is the best shit ever.
Oh my God. I gotta tell you guys
I haven't
this.
Thought about this in fucking years.
Oh my God.
This was
too.
One of the funniest things that I've ever experienced.
I'm so excited. Done.
This is okay. Funny as right, fucking
so, all right, so...
Wow.
MySpace was big, of
yeah.
course.
Yeah.
Okay, it was 2007. Everyone was always so annoying. Are you going to put me in the top 8? You're going to put me in the top 8.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I forgot about that
so
too.
Did I. Wow.
I know nothing about MySpace.
I didn't get into MySpace.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
Really?
You don't need to.
No, I wasn't into social media. Okay.
So it was MySpace, also for musicians a lot, I think, at the time when it first started.
Right.
Anyway.
So MySpace anyway, was a big thing. Right. You know what it was.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
The top 8 would be like your friends that you put. I guess, yeah, for young people don't know either.
It would come on screen, and it was the first 8 friends on everyone's page that you'd see, and it was like, who are your best friends? And
yes,
your top 8.
Be like, oh, so you want 8 people are this guy's best friend. Yes. So people were annoying and were like, you don't put me in your top 8. Like, legitimately. And you'd be like, bro, we're guys. Like, right. What are you talking
right.
about? Right.
And adults. Yeah.
And adults, right? So I got annoyed at that, right? Because also, here's the other thing, too. Top 5 you got, but then the last 3 you'd be like, what the fuck do I put for 6 and 7 and 8? Aren't this guy, I guess, is my friend? You know what I mean? Yeah. It'd be like flavor of the month. Like, I know that I've been really close with this guy.
Right.
And then they get
friends.
Knocked out and get upset.
Right.
Like,
well, it's kind of like old school likes. It's like, how many likes do we get? I mean, now that's
proto-likes.
I had enough of it. So what I did was I thought, I'm going to create profiles for my top 8. And I created 8 Kurt Russell profiles.
Wow.
And I put them in my top 8.
Wow.
So this way, nobody can be mad.
Yeah.
I'm a comedian. It's funny.
It's good, yeah.
Right? And
wow.
Wait, so Paul was your type?
He was my
your,
top 8.
Was your top 8?
He was my top 8, all 8.
All different characters?
All different pictures from him in different movies.
They were all Kurt Russell, though. They
all
weren't
Kurt Russell.
They weren't like Snake Plissken and bullshit.
No.
It was just
oh,
Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell, Kurt Russell, all my top 8, okay?
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Wow, I'm sorry. God about
I haven't thought about
wait,
this since it happened.
It.
Yeah, it doesn't exist
I
anymore,
know.
I don't think. So what you had to do was to create
was
a profile.
Extensive.
It had to it was. You had to have a legit email to create a profile, just like anything else.
So you created 8 Kurt
so
Russell
I created,
emails?
No, a new email. It wasn't a Kurt Russell email, it was just a bullshit email.
Right.
I'd be like blah 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 at Yahoo, blah blah blah.
AOL.
At AOL, yeah. Blah blah at Lycos. Lycos right. was a thing. I don't even remember back then, but it was a search engine.
Netscape.com.
Yes, exactly. So I realized after like a month or two, I was like, oh, these profiles. Oh, by the way, you'd go and look at the Kurt Russell profiles. The only friend Kurt Russell would have was me.
Yeah.
Right? Because I wasn't like making a real profile.
Yeah. Right.
I just thought it looked funny on my page. Right. Kurt Russell 8 times. Okay. So
you weren't trying to trick anybody.
I was
right.
not trying to trick
you.
Anybody.
It was just a joke.
It was very obvious that this was a fucking joke.
Yes.
And that Kurt Russell didn't have MySpace. Okay.
It definitely didn't have 8 MySpaces.
Have 8 of them. Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. So, so anyway, I realized a month and a half, I was like, oh, I made all these profiles. I was like, why don't I check some of them?
Hell yeah.
So who knows, you know? So I check. No, but obviously everyone knows it's fake.
Yeah.
One guy writes one of the Kurt Russell profiles. And he writes, hey, man, can't believe you're on MySpace. Your biggest fan. I'm from Italy.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that it's so cool and love all your movies. So I'm like, is this guy fucking joking? All right. So I don't do anything because I'm like, that's insane, dude. Another month passes and I check it again. The same profile, not the other ones.
Yeah.
Hey, man, just saying, I just saw whatever it was, movie, you're great. And I'm like, this fucking guy is joking with me, right? So I write back, yeah, man. Killing it or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh my God, you responded. How do I be in your next movie?
So this is the kiss of death.
I'm like, So now I'm like, I'm trying to be an actor in Hollywood. I'm a stand-up comedian. I know how hard it is. And this motherfucker thinks he's going to live in Italy,
yeah. Right.
Message Kurt Russell on MySpace, and get a movie yeah. part. Yeah. So now I'm mad,
yeah.
Okay? So I write back, okay, yeah. As a matter of fact, I got a movie coming out soon, and we're looking for parts. All right? Why don't you send an audition tape?
No.
Yeah, dude. To me on MySpace. And why don't you do the Few Good Men monologue where he says, you can't handle the truth.
No.
Yeah, okay? Send it to my MySpace, okay?
Where all auditions go for Kurt Russell.
Right, of course.
I check it a week later. Boom.
No.
It's this Italian guy. Thanks so much for the opportunity. And he had sunglasses on because he didn't want me to see it.
That was the best part. That was the best part.
Because he didn't want me to see him looking
right,
up,
right.
didn't even fucking memorize it. This asshole, dude, people uproot their lives. They move to Hollywood.
Yeah.
They have no fucking money. They try to muscle in on their way to audition. God. And this guy living in fucking Tuscany wants to just write Kurt Russell on MySpace, not memorize the fucking monologue when Kurt Russell, as far as he knows, gives him the opportunity of a fucking lifetime.
Yeah, wow, what the fucking ass on this guy.
He's gonna read it.
It doesn't deserve point. It doesn't deserve it.
It's a great point, actually.
People were like, oh, don't you feel bad? And I was like, fuck this Italian guy.
Yeah.
This guy needs to learn, dude.
Yeah. That is an amazing story.
We were crying.
That is amazing.
I've looked for it. It was on YouTube. I've looked for it for years. I can't find it.
Did you ever hit him back after the
And then it just kind of was like not as funny.
But that was it. I mean.
Oh, fuck, man. It was so funny. It was so fucking funny, man.
That's just one of my favorite stories.
Yeah. Me too.
That's incredible. Fucking happy. I remember that shit.
I haven't thought about that in years. I'm so glad you thought about
that.
That
is incredible.
It was really funny.
It'd be great, though, if the story ended and he got the job.
No, yeah. Right. But,
or if it was just unreal.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how old are we now? You're 39.
Yeah.
36.
And you're 36. You directed
my last special. Yes. Your
how last was special? That working together, by the way?
That was so fun.
Yeah, it was the best.
That was so fun.
No, there was none. Everything was on the up and up.
Yeah, everyone always asks, even when my dad did this, there's none of that shit. We all just like have a blast.
Is it a collaboration?
Yeah.
Like true collaboration? Totally. Do you, Matt, say shit that you don't agree with and you know what I mean? Or
not
anything
really.
Like that?
I mean,
as far as the director
goes. Some good notes and some good ideas. And
look-wise,
it was just collaborative.
I like this. Do you want to do that? And you were like, yeah. And what about this? It was like very simple.
I don't, that's his job.
It's funny because when you grow up together, you do actually grow up. No, even if you're different people, you have similar tastes.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like he was like, what color do you want the background? And I was like, purple? And he was like, no, purple's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of like just made it kind of purple.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then, but the cameras, he was like, here's an example. Like he was like, I want to get a low angle. And I was like, I don't know if that will look good, but he probably knows it looks good. I was like, okay, if that's what you think,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it does, it looks awesome.
Yeah,
but I don't, I, you know, I'm not the director, so I don't.
Right. If you went low on me, I'd be like, dude, what's the chin like though?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Sure. That's
yeah.
what I would 100%.
Yeah. Agree. Ollie's got a chin.
Yeah. I was like, make
chin
sure you don't
thing.
Do a double chin.
Oh, nice.
You know what's cool though? I mean, just watching you guys and hanging out with you right now is I have got three kids, but I've got two boys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're best friends.
Oh,
and they fight
great.
Like you guys probably
fight.
Right,
it's
just petty
sure,
shit.
Yeah.
But the greatest thing to watch is their sense of humors are so compatible.
That's
I mean,
cool.
They are on the same page with their insanity.
Man, that's awesome.
And with their stabbed, like little smart humor, but it's also that goofy kid.
Yeah,
humor,
right.
But they're
right,
so right there. And to hear when I put them to bed and I close the door, I know they're going to rap, and I hear them fucking losing
it. Oh, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
It's just like, oh, dude,
that's got to be the best feeling.
It's so good.
That's
it feels
amazing.
Good. It just feels
damn.
Good, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah. So you guys, I'm sure, have that, you know. Or
Did you share a bedroom together when you were kids?
Did we? We did
in New Jersey. When we came to California, we finally had our own rooms. But you would keep me up.
Oh, that's right. I would come into your room.
Time.
I would do the same thing. I'd try to make them laugh. And
Also,
I would be like, hey, I would be scared. And I'd be like, I'm going to kill this spider. Like, I was a post.
I was so fucking annoying. He would come in our room at like 2 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. and be like, Matt. I'd be like, what? And he'd be like, I think I saw a spider.
No way.
Yeah.
I was like, congratulations, dude. Kill it or don't. Go back to bed.
Right.
Couldn't.
But he was like, you have to kill it. And I was like, I do?
Yep, he would do it.
You're older.
He would do it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I would even be like, I know I'm older, but like just to do shit.
Yeah.
I'll take care of Austin.
Right. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Yeah.
That's so...
And then he would kill it and I would go Power Rangers.
Yeah. That I remember. Yeah.
So where did you guys shoot this thing?
Minneapolis.
Yeah. And how do you choose your venue?
So I think I don't really care. But there are comedians that are like, no, I don't want to do it here. I'd rather do it here. And it's comedy, it's just
but aren't you trying to maximize laughs in any
okay,
way?
So there is one thing that I will think of. If I haven't been there in a while, then that's good because then the people are jacked,
right,
ready.
Right.
You know, and I hadn't been to Minneapolis in a long time.
Yeah.
It had been like 2 years, 3 years almost.
Are people prepped? Meaning like, you guys, this is a show, we're filming this one, you're going to be on camera, you're going to be laughing. And they, yeah.
What's the biggest stage you've ever been on?
For myself or not? Because when I did an oddball tour, which was like, it was a few years ago, but like Louis C.K., Chappelle, they all did the shit. That was like 20,000 people.
Oh.
Yeah, that's wild.
And was there 20,000 when you were on stage? Oh, how'd that feel?
Honestly, like, it's like doing stand-up in a room alone. You're like, I don't know if I'm doing well or not. This,
really?
Is this what it sounds like when 20,000 people laugh?
Yeah.
Or not?
Wow.
Or is this 1,000 of them laughing?
That's so
I have no fucking idea.
That's a good...
People were getting thrown out, kicked out, beat up. I had no fucking idea.
Wow.
Once you get past 3,000, you know, I do like 3,000 now to 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And people get thrown out. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they're getting thrown out.
Right.
Do you like doing smaller now? I mean, is it fun? Is there an intimacy that is nice about it? Or is there a sweet spot?
I think the sweet spot for me is about 2,000. Like, if I'm going to shoot a special, which was in Minneapolis, I did 2,000 is great for me. Because I have energy, you know? Maybe somebody might be good if they did, you know, 1,000 is good too. My last one, Man on Fire, which I think was the one that you were talking about earlier.
That's the one.
Was about... 1,200, I think.
Mm-hmm.
When your family comes to watch, mm-hmm. are they still laughing?
Yeah, the hardest of anyone. Yeah,
really.
My parents go more than me. Like my parents still go all the time.
They went a few nights ago.
Yeah.
And when you go, are there things like, I know for us, like there's things that I would find funny that no one else would find funny.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing and no one else is laughing.
That's a great question.
100%. Yeah. Often it's just me laughing.
Yeah.
And his big, big killer jokes are the ones that and I still do this, even though he's been doing it for so long. I'm just like doing the thing where I'm just like looking at everybody else.
It's cute.
I also will say, and this is true of I'm not like naturally a stand-up comedy fan until he became one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to pay attention to it. A lot of his friends are my friends now too, because we're close and I'm friends with a lot of comics. I see a lot of comics do their work. You see everyone bomb. You see everyone do bad.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him way more than I've seen anybody else. I've never one time seen you bomb.
Yeah.
But the reason why I always say, like, I don't think a comedian is actually bombing unless he cares that he's bombing.
It's
good. And I don't give a fuck, dude.
Right.
And I won't. I won't.
I don't give a fuck.
If you fucking think, if you're not going to laugh, then you're fucking wrong, dude. Because
right.
I've done this shit before. Mm-hmm. And like, I won't allow that. And right. And I'm not bombing, dude. And then a lot of times that makes people laugh. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's probably what you're. Yeah. Look,
didn't you like do a tweet one time or something where you were like, wait, what was it? You said something about how everybody, I'm going to find it.
I'm not sorry for any of the jokes I ever made in my life. I don't give a fuck what you think about it. Figure your own shit out if your feelings are hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You kind of
for
don't.
For comedy,
have,
you could.
How
have
do you,
to
how do
that.
You, when was that?
I don't know. I pinned it. It was a while ago.
But that's what I mean. Like, how do you deal with that today?
Yeah.
It's a whole different world today.
I say it.
Does that stay,
that was
still
about
stay
today.
True?
That was about today.
That was about today, kind of, yeah.
Like about the moment.
It was. Yeah. Okay.
I feel like the second you apologize for a joke, you're, in a weird way, you're kind of admitting that there was some truth to it. And it's like, sometimes there's no truth to it. You're just fucking being silly. You're making a joke, you know?
Mm.
And the world, I forget who said this. Some comedian said this, but it's not comedians' jobs to change because you can't adapt to how we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you don't like it.
But here's the other thing. I'm not trying to hurt anybody.
Right.
I'm just trying to make you laugh.
Yeah.
And that's what comedians are trying to do. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be mad at me trying to make you laugh.
Yeah.
That's
but
your
have
problem.
You had to filter yourself at all in the last couple of years?
No.
Just because of just the landscape of
but
where
I will
we're living.
I will say comedy changes. and what is funny changes. You know, if you look at Laurel and Hardy now, mm-hmm. I'm sure it wasn't, I don't know, I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm sure my dad thinks it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I would think it's a little less hilarious, you know. But
but then there's like Bill Hicks, who's like, you know, a whole different category of comedian where, he everything was a comment on politics you know.
You know, I do a very little of that just because it's not my brand. But mm-hmm. It's not my brand because I don't like, it's not what it charges me. But mm-hmm. it changes a little bit. Like I don't think it's funny. Some guys think it's funny to just be like, yeah, that bitch or this bitch to about a woman. And I don't think that that's funny. If you're on stage and you're like, bitch, please, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the punchline, mm-hmm. then I forgive it. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it changed. Like, it maybe that won't be funny to me anymore in a few years because there's been too much.
Right. It's just subjective.
With mm-hmm. men and women. And now I'm like, it's just not funny to me anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, but that mm-hmm. happens. Yeah.
You know, they say people who can laugh at themselves mm-hmm. or people who have a great mm-hmm. sense of self humor are the ones that really would. That's how you would define a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, it seems like a lot of comedy even comes from self-deprecation.
Yeah, you know, I think some comedians try to do that, and it's kind of annoying.
Yeah,
like I'll call myself an idiot during my show a number of times, and I think like I honestly have a feeling it's like I don't know. Almost every show in my head, I think like I can't believe you guys are fucking listening to me. Like I'm a piece of shit. Like what am I talking about? But also I know what's funny, and this is what I think is funny. So if you don't think it's funny, fuck you. So it's like it's a combination of. You have to be self-aware to be a comedian. Yeah. I think.
Do you really not care what people think?
Well. No, of course not. But when it comes down to it, like I want people to like me. I want people to laugh at my stuff. I certainly don't want to bomb. Mm-hmm. Like I definitely care. But when it comes down to it, I think for me, I know what's funny. And if you don't think that that's funny, then I think you're wrong. And that's okay.
That's a very healthy and that's way
okay.
of looking at it.
That's okay.
It's true that a lot of comedy does come from people who are masking very traumatic things. That is a different
kind. Well, Matt, and sometimes I feel very guilty about that.
Have you ever seen a bit of his? I know you've laughed at everything, but have you ever seen a bit, heard a bit? You know, a joke where you're like, you can do better. Like, I'm not feeling that one or that.
Every once in a while, but
even by the way, even I feel that way with my act sometimes.
You do.
I'm like, I shouldn't. Whatever. I was stupid. Right, you have to try this stuff. But also, it might not be funny to one person, and not that they're even wrong, but like, it's not funny for them because of the life that they lived, and they don't think that that's funny. And I think it is funny. And who gives a shit?
Right.
Like, dude, there's comedians that are huge that I'm like, they're not for me,
right.
but they're great.
Right. Right,
you know what I mean?
But what defines them being great? If they're not funny,
if they're selling out theaters, if they have a fan base, if they're being authentic to who they are,
right,
and if they're making a living doing it. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
Who am I to tell that? You know.
So even if you don't think they're funny, if they're selling out Madison Square Garden, it's like, well,
they're good.
They're good. Someone loves them. I don't,
they're
but
good.
Someone loves them. And you have to respect that.
I respect the shit out of it. And it takes a lot of work, too.
Like, yeah, a lot of effort.
It takes a lot of work, a lot of
dedication.
Nights. Dude, I have respect for every comedian that has, mm-hmm. quote unquote, made it. It's like, dude, they put in the work, man.
What's it like nowadays just in the world? And the competitive side of things.
I mean,
the cutthroat aspect.
There's an odd guy now and then that you're like, and that guy's a weird guy to be around. But most of the time, look, man, the comedy boom now is bigger than it was even in the 80s,
it's huge.
90s. So like,
it's huge.
Early 90s. So everybody's doing well. So it's.
Do you love what you do?
Love it. I don't love anything more. I don't love anything more than being on stage making people laugh.
You can tell.
That's the best.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. No, I don't love anything more. Like that's why I don't get like some. There's a lot of like nowadays. It's like, oh, let me do stand up because that'll get me the next thing.
Yeah.
That's so weird to me, dude. Mm-hmm. That is the thing.
Yeah. Now, do you have that in your life? Like something that you love?
Yeah.
That.
I mean, before I made my. I had a movie come out called American Animal like 8 years ago. And before that, I mean, I still am pretty critical of movies because it's what I care about the most. And my passion comes out that way. And I'm opinionated about stuff. But now, before and after actually having made a movie, it's just like, I can see a movie and think, I don't like that movie at all. Mm-hmm. But I deeply respect the people that made it and that it even exists in the first place, because it's, as we all know in this room, it's so fucking hard.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, not just to make a good one, but to make... To continue to turn that shit out is impossible.
Just to get the movie made.
Yeah.
Is so, it takes so much, you know. All right, well, what are we looking forward to now?
I mean,
first of all, we got to mention you're about to have a baby.
Yeah, I'm about to have a baby. Yep, any
that's,
day.
That's about so as that day, exciting yeah, as really.
That I'm very, very excited about, which is going to be hopefully amazing. And if I have any questions, I'll ask you guys.
We're all very excited.
Yeah, but to continue on, what are you guys looking forward to? What, you got your special
so
coming out.
So I got the special coming out that he directed, which I'm looking forward to. Also, we're working on putting a project together.
Yeah,
a movie that he wrote and is going to direct.
For him. Yeah. And he's playing one of the main roles, and I'm directing it.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Iron Man. So
Iron Man 4.
It's our own take on Iron Man. We didn't get the rights, but no.
Is there a brother part? Because I'm out of work.
It would have to be a twin part for you, because you guys look similar.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's like a contained, darkly funny, like crime thing where it ends up
post heist.
Yeah, it's like the heist goes right and everything afterwards goes insanely wrong.
Oh, cool.
And it's kind of about how men sort of left to their own devices will just eat themselves alive, much to their own detriment. But it's
great.
Through the genre of the crime film.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I like that the heist goes perfect.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, it's all fucked.
Yeah. Heist is great. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. That's exciting. Okay, ready? First celebrity crush. I like that.
Oh, fuck.
Mine.
Oh, I know mine.
Oh, I know mine, yeah.
I know mine. Mine's easy. What? Natalie Portman, The Professional.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
The Professional.
Wow.
I was like, that's my future wife.
Yeah.
Like, when I first saw it, I was like, that's who that is.
You know what? You would look great with her right
Thank
now.
Thank you. Natalie, if you're listening.
Yeah, I do. I think you and Natalie Portman would make a really smart couple.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Just we should tell her that.
Yep.
Mine was Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh.
Why
that says
does
so much about both of you.
I thought she was the hot. I couldn't believe it.
Why does she still look exactly like she did then?
I don't know. She's really hot still. It's weird.
Okay, so what was your actual first crush?
Hayley Sarsfield.
Nikki Cozzolino.
Italian.
Nikki Cozzolino. I was so crazy about her. Yeah,
really?
It was hilarious.
Cozzolino, dude. Yeah.
And her best friend was Ashley Randazzo. It was the most Italian show.
Cozzolino and Randazzo.
Hey, you guys.
Basically,
Matt's just like, I love her. Cozzolino and Randazzo.
Wow.
So Jersey.
If you could quote one movie from beginning to end, what would it be?
Jesus Christ. I mean, I couldn't do it, but I would have to say probably Swingers.
It might actually be Ace Ventura.
Oh, wait. Maybe it could be Ace Ventura.
Because I recently rewatched Ace Ventura, and I couldn't believe how deeply etched it is into my brain.
Oh, dude.
Every new scene, I'm like, not only do I remember this scene, I remember every single beat, the tenor of every word.
Ace Ventura could be Ace Ventura.
Yeah, you know what's fun about having kids, too, honestly, is that brings you back to these movies. I've watched all of them now. Again.
Yeah.
That is
good. It's
you know,
so
all
fun.
All of them. Ace Ventura. But, you know, I tried to show him Naked Gun.
Oh, my that, fucking
oh, dude,
favorite.
I know.
It's
probably my favorite.
All the kids came over, you know, all of Wilder's friends, his whole class, 16 kids.
Oh, wow.
And they're wanting to watch, like, Good Boys, the radio show. And I'm like, okay, but let's just watch Naked Gun for a second. It didn't play.
By the way, whoever is listening,
isn't that weird?
It's weird.
Don't let your kids come over to Oliver's house. You can't let other people's kids.
I didn't let him watch Good Boys.
He watched Naked Gun.
No,
they watched Naked Gun.
Better choice.
Did they like it?
We put on
No.
They didn't.
Color of Night instead.
Three.
What about the Three Amigos?
Three Amigos is one.
That was my favorite movie.
Favorite movie. Me too.
I can do that one and Top Secret. Remember that?
Oh my God, dude! I never laughed harder than one moment in Top Secret. I never laughed harder in any movie ever. When he, it's so.
Is it the cow?
Dumb. No, that's funny. But when he does, when the guy's like, you know, war really hardens you and you go through all this shit and nothing, you know, he really, whatever the fuck. And then he sneezes. And then he sneezes in his hand and looks at it and goes, and jumps out of the window, dude. That I couldn't. I never laughed harder in a movie than
fucking
I did with that.
Great, Top Secret.
It's so
there's so many great movies that
great
we
movies.
We got to see. But is it weird that like Top Gun is just like every part of me as a little girl when I watched that movie, I was like.
that was, I mean, I think that made me boy. I think that movie alone made me boy crazy. It was the first time, you know, we talked about the.
Cracked you early.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, okay, mine was Charles in Charge. Nicole Eggert was.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was huge.
Come to think about it, I think Elizabeth Hurley was a little later. Yeah, Nicole Eggert.
I was like, time. Oh, God.
Yeah.
If you were casting someone as.
To play your.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To play you.
Well.
Or your brother.
Oliver.
Yeah, me.
Obviously.
To play Chris.
Yeah. Obviously.
So Oliver, you'd cast Oliver to play Chris.
In the biopic of my
dude, I would, mine would be who I'd want to see, and who I'd want to see play me is for sure Jean-Claude Van Damme. There's no way I would not want him to play. That would be hilarious. It'd
be a different movie.
But if I actually had to cast for real, Jesus, I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to pick Oliver. I don't know.
To cast your brother.
You're casting your brother.
Oh, you?
So self-centered, yeah.
I thought you were asking for me.
I do you. It's him. Oh, Who do you do for me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a better question. Oh, yeah. Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody.
Oh, or that would be, that's good.
John Turturro.
Yeah, John Turturro could work, yeah.
Love Turturro. Yeah.
Love Turturro. Or who's the guy in?
Well, Brad Pitt.
No.
Who's in Beverly Hills? That guy.
That guy, yeah.
Okay, any other job, what would it be?
Oh, fuck.
I can't even fucking imagine.
Yeah, I'd
get fired, whatever it is.
Would you go, whether go back in time or go into the future, if you could do one?
I would go back.
You go back?
Really? I'm like a history nerd,
yeah.
And I just want to see some shit.
I'd go back.
Yeah, I'd go back.
You would, huh?
You know, but then what's kind of fucked up is like, I was thinking about the other day, when you die, wouldn't it be nice? I just want to know what happens in 1,000 years. Like,
yeah,
what this
sure.
world going to be like?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a good question. 1,000 years
is unfathomable.
I might go back to fucking like just the '80s and just see what the fuck it was like, and then
as like an adult, that must have been so.
That would have been fun.
The '80s were just like crazy
because I was a four. You know what I mean?
Like, then you definitely do some drugs.
Yeah, as an adult in the '80s,
drugs were better then. Yeah.
Meet the kid me and have him do drugs.
Did you ever have a favorite childhood vacation?
Long Beach Island. I loved when we would go to the beach in New Jersey.
You hated family vacations in general. That was before you hated them, though.
Oh, yeah. No. That was before I hated them. Yeah.
My favorite family vacation was the one where you hit your head on the headboard.
Santa Barbara.
On
the bed. Santa Barbara.
Okay, that's what it was. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I have a question, actually, because I watched Man on Fire last night. Is everything that you do written, or are you riffing at all, or is that just the actor in you who knows how to make everything seem real?
Yeah, it's all written, but there are,
because that's your vibe, dude. I mean, it's like, he's obviously a great actor, because it feels like, unless it feels like it's coming to you.
Yeah,
you know what
thank
I mean?
You first of all, second of all, it's there's always parts of every show that I just kind of like go off and say something new.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all.
Yeah.
I will also add to that, you are a director's dream because.
Oh, I do the same.
He'll be in the same place.
I do it in the same place.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's like actual continuity for like an actual actor.
Yeah. Wow.
On a set.
I don't know why. I just.
It's totally. You're not thinking about it.
No, it makes it comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
It's very rare. I'm in a certain spot and I'm like, oh, wait, I should be over there. Very rare.
So, yeah, if he's doing two shows to cut together for the special, it's like we don't have to worry about where the fuck he is.
Who would your parents say is the most athletic?
Matt.
Me.
Funniest?
Chris.
I guess they would say that.
Yeah.
But Matt's, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, you think I'm the funniest person.
Yeah. Well,
that's
different. I mean, I don't know. I am always with all of you, so I think you guys are
right,
so funny.
Right.
Yeah, which one of you would survive best in the wilderness?
I would naturally think me,
but you impressed me one time. The time we were, you guys are going to not. I mean, we were in like a high speed chase when we were getting shot out on the freeway.
Yeah. Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, we voted. We voted in the same polling station. This was like years. This is like 2012. And I flicked the guy off who cut me off getting on the 134 off the
holy
two.
Holy shit.
And the guy stopped on the freeway, went in reverse, and like had a gun
waving
it around. And his calm under pressure, I was like, I can't believe how chilled out you were this whole time. So maybe you'd have like a calm head about it.
You just went into survival mode.
I don't freak out. I don't freak out about that kind of stuff, especially if there's someone else involved. Mm-hmm. Because like I'm like, all right, that person's probably going to freak out. I'm going to just make sure. Because honestly, if you go crazy, you only make it worse.
That's scary, dude.
The worst part about that, and actually, I got to be honest.
Did they actually shoot at you?
No,
I don't think so.
But I remember. Here's the thing. I was like, look,
that's crazy.
If we're gonna get shot, he's gonna shoot. If he wants to shoot us, he's gonna shoot us.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Fuck it. But we might as well just see what the fuck.
Dude, we were stopped on the freeway.
Yeah, we were stopped on the freeway.
Because
he
was stopped in front of me, and I was like, I don't want to pass him. He's going to fucking shoot us.
Right.
So I'm like just waiting behind his car. Cars are just vroom, 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 flying by. And then finally, I just like, I mean, I dipped around him and
I remember you were like, what the fuck do I do? And I was like, it's all good, man. Just like.
But I also, the thing that fucked me up the most, and this is what I think about, I thought about him getting shot. Yeah. And that's what made
because
me
you
feel the worst.
It was your fault.
If you got shot in that fucking car, my life would be over.
Yeah.
Just as much as it would be over if I got shot.
Have you flipped anyone off since?
No. Fuck no.
Yeah.
Not even fucking. And I'll have the fucking instinct because it's like very much in me to be like, ah.
The trick is I have road rage at points, but now the trick is it's just you got to see who's in the car.
Yeah,
right? You like sort of look over and it's like some like older woman who's like 85, you know. Then you're like, God damn it!
Well, which one of you could talk your way out of things better? Like,
That's a toss up, man.
I think we're both pretty good at that.
Yeah. Wow, that's a toss up, man. Yeah, that's a real toss up.
We're both.
Who could be more convincing?
I think me.
You probably. Yeah. Probably you.
Yeah.
If you could take something from your brother
I know,
take it for as your own, a quality that you could have, what would it be? And then on the flip side of that, if you could take something from him that would alleviate some sort of a stressor or pain or whatever it is, what would you take from him?
I would want he always like wants to know the real truth and learn, and I don't give a fuck about that, and I wish I wanted to know about stuff, the actual things that mattered,
right?
You know? And then I wish he wasn't, I wish he wouldn't beat himself up so much about hurting someone else.
That's what I wish I had about him, actually. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
When you know you're right,
you
don't let in the fucking, either whatever the fuck is, the noise around you.
That's funny that's the same thing.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Wait, explain that though.
If he does something, even if he thinks he's right, and if it hurts someone else, he's like, feels really badly about just, for the other person.
Mm-hmm. The empathy is just too
high. Empathy,
it's out of whack. Like my empathy's too high.
He's too empathetic.
Yeah.
And I wish
I didn't care too much about what
people.
It's not. What's weird though is that I do not care what they think.
Yeah, right.
I care if I feel like I played a part in hurting them.
Yeah.
And that is like, it just gets in the fucking way.
But that also can work against itself, which means that you care so much that then it becomes about you and not 100%. Even about them.
100%. It's problematic each way you turn.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's interesting.
It sucks, actually.
And so you wish that you had more because I don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. When he knows he's in the right, that's it.
That's it.
Like, I wish I had that. I wish it ended there for me.
If you could take something from Chris.
Well, he gets mad, like furious about the least meaningful shit under the sun. Yeah. Like he'll be like, I can't believe someone put his drink there.
Right.
Yeah. And it'll like 8 hours later be like, can you
the last one was the feet on the table.
That you're crazy about that.
That drives me fucking
But this
nuts,
plays into the thing that
No. So I'm talking about that. No, this is your
like
house.
That?
This is your house. No, this is your house. I'm saying when somebody says, "Hey, put your feet down."
Oh yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh yeah.
Dude,
I like.
First of all, I will never put the bottom of my shoes on a table.
Like
I won't
now?
Do that.
First of all, it's not even. It's very.
But
hard
I'm talking
to
about
do.
like people like I'll be like this at a restaurant.
Oh, that's
or
right.
Something.
Right.
Be like, hey, take your foot down.
Yeah.
The calf is on the fucking thing.
Yeah,
what's the problem?
Do you really sit like that though at restaurants?
Yeah,
he does. He sits like that everywhere. Yeah. He always looks.
I'm not sorry, dude.
Chris always looks like he just fell from the ceiling.
So then I'll go like, what if I'm like this? Is that a problem? And that's not a problem. So just because the back of my fucking calf is on the armrest is the problem?
It's like a Larry David episode.
Yeah.
You don't care about what people think of you or what you're doing or a search. But if someone says.
Yes.
Like the littlest things could send you
why
into.
Are they bugging me about where the way I'm sitting?
He thinks he knows it's okay to do that. So if someone tells him it's not okay to do that,
I'll think about it. Like, no,
that
happened,
you're fucking wrong.
Fucking ass day,
see?
Man.
Mm. See, look, he's getting mad.
The
right
whole
now.
Day.
Yeah, he's getting mad.
I was
right
thinking
now.
About the whole day. I was texting the group. I was like, you guys really for real don't think, you think I'm wrong? Somebody was like, yeah, you shouldn't do it. I'm like, why?
No, I was like, you're right, but stop being so mad.
And that's the truth. That's the truth of it. Yeah. That is.
But is there any other times where you're like, I guess you're right. I probably shouldn't
never
do that.
Never once. You never do that.
Well, I'm wrong sometimes. Yeah, of course.
And you'll admit when you're wrong. You're cool. You're good at that?
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, some people aren't. You know what I mean?
No, that's annoying.
Yeah.
You got, everyone's wrong sometimes. Yeah.
I have a question. When was the last time you guys told each other how what you mean to each other?
Pretty recently, probably.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah.
You guys, probably you're open day. Enough totally, to do that, yeah. vulnerable enough yeah, to be able yeah, to do that.
Definitely. We do all the time.
Yeah. Really?
A yeah. lot, yeah.
We love each other. And a I tell lot. Him. And yeah, I don't know what I would do without him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think about I that would, too. Yeah. 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 We're very lucky.
If that's you great. Were to give advice to people who don't have that kind of relationship.
It's hard.
Yeah, because I'm just going to say we've been reading a lot of submissions because we have an email address. And it's fucking gnarly, dude. Like, I will smoke a joint, get in bed, and read these emails and just weep.
Yeah. So
I'm a very emotional person just in general, but I will just like cry.
You don't realize how fortunate you have it sometimes until you start hearing other people.
I certainly didn't. I mean, we had it so good.
Yeah.
Not in any other way besides the way that we all loved each other so much that I never really, until I got a little older, I think the normal, I just never realized like just like the depths of how fucked up some people can have it.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And yeah, just lucky. We're lucky.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
I think it's important to tell people how you feel about them, whether it's good or bad, in a very constructive and sweet way. But, you know, it's not easy for everybody to do it. I mean, it's even hard when we do it all the time. Sometimes it's hard, you know.
The majority of these siblings where they're not talking, they've let something get in their way, whether it be their parents or some outside force. Yeah. And if you can eliminate that and not and just be a little bit more compassionate and understand that maybe it's not about maybe it's not about us. Maybe it's about something else.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's try to meet somewhere without that in our lives. Let's pretend that never happened. Anyway, we're good.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Oh, cool.
Guys,
this was so dope.
Yeah. It was really fun.
It was
really, really fun.
A lot of laughs.
Yeah. And it was really nice to meet you.
Likewise, yeah. Thanks for having us.
Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson, Oliver Hudson, and Sim Sarna.
Supervising producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.